Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands all across the house again? Let's thank God for his presence that we feel in this place. Thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your spirit that's already met us here tonight. Thank you for your goodness, God, that leads us to repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, be thankful tonight. I'm glad I got to come to church tonight. I'm glad I got to feel his presence tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. It's good to be here. Thank you to all of those that afforded me the opportunity to come to give honor to Brother Sutton, this wonderful church, his family. And it's so exciting to be with you. I always love coming to New Life. And I'm glad to be a part of what God's going to do here tonight. Amen. And it's just sweet presence of the Lord here in this house. And there's no telling what might happen here in the next few minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. It is 8:34. You don't have to be anywhere till 10, so that means I got an hour and a half. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be here. My wife is with me tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad she's with me. We haven't been to church together in a long time. I know that's not a good thing, but I'm glad she's here with me tonight. I'm glad my church is here, Cornerstone Revival Center from Coleman. Amen. Brother Sean Ryan and his wife, Bessie, got all the youth group here and a lot of others. I'm glad they're here. Amen. And it's good to be with all of you that are here and all the ministers. It's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm getting a little older. 31. I'm not cool anymore. And I'm okay with that. But so I was studying to preach what I'm going to preach here tonight. And when you preach youth meetings, there's a certain amount of pressure to do good. And so I tried to, and I think I found the perfect youth message here tonight, because my text begins in verse 5 of chapter 5, "Likewise, ye younger." So I know what I'm about to read and what I'm about to preach is for you, because the Bible says that it's for you. But I feel like the Lord's going to help us here tonight. In fact, I've got about 5 things in my spirit, and I might preach all of them before we get through. And one of them will work, and then we'll have great revival, and a bunch of people's going to get the Holy Ghost, and then we're going to go play basketball or whatever we do. Hallelujah. But let's read. How about it? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever endeavor. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to take my text from verse 8, obviously. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary. It is popular today to add copy and commercials on radio, the internet, whatever it is that you see, that everybody, whether they're selling sports drinks or baseball gloves or hunting and fishing gear, everybody's in a battle. Everybody's fighting. Everybody's trying to be the best they can be, and you got to get in the game and you got to get in the fight. But I want to preach tonight about the real fight. And the Holy Ghost is going to help us, the real fight. Amen. Let's ask God to help us. Would you lift your voice, lift your hands, clap your hands, and let's ask God to have his way in the next few minutes. God, we trust you. We ask you, God, that your word would find rest in every heart. I pray that conviction, I pray that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would fill this temple tonight. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Strengthen us, establish us, and settle us in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands with all of your might? Come on, everybody. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes. Praise God, praise God. Come on, do it again. Do it again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I would submit to you tonight that while the world may think it, and while even some that are among us may consider it to be, that God and Satan are not in a battle. God and Satan are not at war with each other. Satan is not fixed against God to fight with him, to war with him, because the Bible, all the way back in Isaiah, and Jesus quoted it in the New Testament, he told us that there was once a time that Satan thought for a moment, I would like to engage God in a conflict. There was a moment in Isaiah chapter 14 that the Bible tells us that Satan thought in his heart, I will ascend to the hill or to the throne of God. I will exalt myself above the stars of God. He thought just for a moment, just for a second, if you will, longer than it takes. It takes longer to read the sentence than it did for what I'm about to tell you to happen. Satan said, I think I want a piece of God. I think I want to try and get better and bigger than God. I think I want to engage God in some sort of conflict. And Jesus said, when he thought it in his mind, I beheld Satan cast like lightning from the heavens. He threw himself to the earth. Amen. I want to tell you, the moment Satan wanted a piece of God, he found out he was out of his league. The moment Satan thought, I think I can handle God, before the next thought entered his mind, the war was already over. He was already cast from heaven. Before the wrestling match ever began, Satan was already defeated. I want to tell you here tonight that Satan's end is already determined. He's already finished his fight with God, because the Bible said in the book of Revelation that there's going to be one angel that's going to grab him by the nape of the neck and bind him with chains and cast him into a pit for 1,000 years. I want to tell you something, people. Satan never even thought he could handle God. He never even got it in his mind good before God showed him, there's nobody like me. No one can ascend to my hill. No one can exalt themselves above me. Are there any other gods beside me? I know not one. All power is given unto me, and everything is under my feet.
I want to tell you, Satan's already defeated. His end is already determined. There is no contest between he and God. There is no even, he can't even get in the ring with God. God is victorious. God has no equal. God has no counterpart. God has no competition. But 1 Peter chapter 5 says, ye younger, elbow your neighbor and say, that means you. Ye younger, there's some things you need to understand. I'm going to preach to us tonight. There's some things you need to settle once and for all on a Friday night in January of 2015. That while God and Satan are not at odds together, and while Satan is not in a conflict against the great God of heaven, Peter said, ye younger, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary... The word adversary there means an arch enemy. The word adversary means somebody who's always rising up against me. I didn't read very many comic books when I was a kid. Amen. My pastor preached against them. But Batman had the Riddler, and Batman had the Joker, and Sherlock Holmes had Professor Moriarty. Every hero has an arch nemesis that every now and then when he's trying to do something for God, or when he's trying to do something for the good of mankind, if you will, his adversary, the guy that's always showing up, the guy that we beat in last week's comic book, but here he is again with a new face, here he is again with a new weapon, our adversary comes up. I want to tell you something, young people, that it's time to wake up in 2015 and realize that if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to fight your way every step of the way. If you're going to live for God, you're not just going to wake up and fall into it, but you're going to have to settle it in your heart and settle it in your mind. I have an adversary, and I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to fight this battle. I've got an adversary, and this is my... You have an adversary. He's our arch enemy. He always shows up when he's not supposed to. Hey, amen. I heard Brother Sutton preach many years ago. I was just a teenager when he preached this at Alabama Men's Retreat. He said, hey, amen, the devil is a good devil. He's faithful. He's on the job 24/7. You don't ever call hell and get a busy signal. You don't ever call hell and find out they took the weekend off, because the devil is a good devil. He's faithful. It's his job to trip you up. It's his job to get in your face and say, you'll never do it. It'll never happen. I don't know why you're trying to shout. You can't live for God. I don't know why you're trying to live holy. It'll never happen in your life. I've come to preach to you. You've got an adversary. If you're going to try anything for God, he's going to show up, and he's going to tell you all the reasons why it won't work. He's going to tell you all the reasons why you're not qualified. You try to praise God, and he's going to get in your face and say, you're not worthy to praise God. You try to step out in faith, and he's going to tell you, hey man, the last time you tried that, you fell on your face. I've come to tell you, you got an adversary. Never before in the history, I believe, of civilization have we ever been in a more dangerous time. When I was a teenager, our pastor could tell us to stay away from certain places. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't get that in your house. Don't get that in your life. But I'm going to tell you here tonight that the devil has weaseled his way into the fabric of every part of our life. Amen. I'd be an idiot to tell you that I can draw enough lines that you'll never have to fight. I'd be foolish to tell you that I can draw enough lines of standards and separation that you could just stand there and not fight and not have to worry about anything, because the devil has weaved his way into the fabric of every part of our lives, our communication, every part of our existence, social networking and all that stuff. There's opportunities everywhere for you to fall. But I've come to tell you tonight that just like he did in the olden days, the devil's always coming up with new schemes and new weapons and new ways to fight against the people of God. But I want to tell you something. Just like it happened on the day of Pentecost, and just like it happened in AD 30 and AD 60 and AD 90, you can live for God if you want to. I'm going to make up in my mind. I've got an adversary. He's a good devil. He's a good fighter. But I'm going to fight the good fight of faith, and I'm going to win this battle in my life. Hallelujah. And I was a young preacher, young man, young kid. Just stay out of the back seat of a car and you wouldn't have to worry about fornicating. Now you can be, not even have to be in the same state to fornicate. We're connected. Familiarity all around us. We can instantly contact one another. I'm preaching to you tonight about really living for God. If you want to live for God, you can live for God with Facebook. You can live for God with Instagram. You can live for God with FaceTime. But you got to settle it in your mind. I've got an adversary. I got to be sober. I got to be vigilant. I got to be watching, because I got an adversary. He's trying to get my life. He's trying to take my righteousness. He's trying to take my... Oh, somebody help me preach on a Friday night. You got an adversary. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to live for God just like we live for God. You're going to have to live for God just like they're going to live for God tomorrow. You got to wake up and say, I'm in the fight for my life. This is the real fight. Where's the devil at today? Where's he trying to get me? Where's he trying to trip me? Where's he trying to make me fall? Where's he at? Because I got an adversary. So Peter said, here's what we're going to do, you younger. Hit your neighbor and say, ye younger. That means you. This is just old-fashioned preaching. The very first thing you're going to have to do if you're going to win this fight is submit yourselves unto the elder. What about God, Brother Wells? Let me tell you something. You can't submit to God before you submit to a man of God. Don't tell me you and God's got some sort of special relationship going on if you don't have a pastor in your life. I'm not talking just about somebody that preaches to you every now and then. I'm talking about somebody you made your pastor. Keep me out of hell. Preach to me. Don't let me mess up. Don't let me fall into sin. Tell me whatever you want to tell me. I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to run off. I'm going to submit unto the elder. Come on, I'm going to preach old fashioned, but I'm going to preach good. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to humble yourself unto a man of God, because God is going to strengthen you. Submit yourself unto the elder. I get a lot of credit for being a real good kid. I wasn't that good of a kid. I was just afraid that as soon as I sinned, God was going to tell my pastor. And it didn't matter if God had told him or not, Brother Sutton. The very next service, when I had times of mistakes and times of messing up in my life and trips and falls in my life, the very next service, it didn't matter if he knew anything about me or not. Whatever he was preaching convicted my soul, because I submitted myself unto the elder. Preach to me, preacher. Preach me out of hell. Preach me out of carnality. Preach me out of lackadaisical spirit. Preach me out of my trouble. Preach me out of my temptation. Preach me out of my life. Come on, preach, preacher. I'm telling you. Come on. If you're a youth worker here tonight, I would admonish you. Amen. Do whatever you want to do. Be cool. Be fun. I like all the stuff we did here tonight. But every now and then, more than just every now and then. Amen. Don't just be cool. Don't be a communicator. Be a preacher. Get you a Bible. Get you a message. And preach on a youth service. Don't just talk. Don't just have fun. Rear back and preach. Because if you're going to make it out of trouble, if you're going to make it out of temptation, if you're going to win this fight, you got to have an elder. Submit yourself to the elder. You got to make him your pastor. Not just a pastor, not just the pastor. He's got to be your pastor. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. If he tells me not to go to that college, I'm not going to that college. He tells me not to date that girl or date that boy. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what I feel. I'm going to do it because I got an adversary. You got to start understanding. If you're going to live for God, the very first thing you're going to get is from your preacher. The very first time that the prophet Samuel ever heard God, he was asleep on his bed, just a young boy. God spoke to him. Samuel, he leaped to his feet, ran to the pastor's office. Because the first time he heard from God, it sounded just like his pastor. He said, did you call me? He said, I didn't call you. Go back. The next time, Samuel, he ran back to Eli's room. You called me. And finally the man realized God's talking to him. He said, the next time it happens, say, speak, Lord, my servant heareth. I want to tell you something. God will never bypass the altar at the office of the pastor in your life. If you're going to make it, you're going to have a pastor that can touch you, a pastor that can reach you, a pastor that can convict you. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Hit your neighbor and say, he's preaching good. Submit yourselves to the elder. And be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. I ain't gonna spend a whole lot of time on that. But essentially what that means is be kind to each other. Hey, we're living for God together. We're trying to make it to heaven together. Hey, I've been in youth work a long time. Some of the most vicious things I've ever heard come out of apostolic youth groups. Some of the most vicious gossip I've ever heard came out of apostolic youth groups. Why? Because we didn't realize we're in a battle together. I got to be kind to you. You're my brother. You're my brother. We got to make it together. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to make fun of you. If you fall, I'm going to come pray for you. I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to... Now, come on. It's time for us to realize we've got an adversary. I gotta have a preacher, and I gotta have you. I need you. I need a youth group. I need a church. I need a pastor. I gotta have you. Be kind to each other. We need a revival of that. Kindness. I know this ain't a good youth message, but it'll get better in a minute.
kind to each other. Don't have cliques in your youth group. Ooh, I could preach for a long time right there, but I ain't your pastor. Have more than one friend.
Because we're in a battle together. We're not trying to be popular. We're not trying to be cool. We're trying to go to heaven. I got to make it. And you got to make it. And I need you. And you need me. And we got to worship together. And we got to shout together. And we got to go to, my God, have mercy. Let me tell you something. If your best friends aren't in the church, you're going to have a hard time living for God. You need to find some people in the church. I'd say, I need you. You need me. Let's bind together. I love you. I got to have you because we're in a battle. This is the real fight.
Well, I don't like her anymore because she wore the same thing I wore to that meeting. And I don't like him anymore because he talked to that girl and he knew I was wanting to talk to her for 7 years. It's about that foolish. I'm going to tell you something. I was preaching for a guy the other day. Is this all right? I hope it is. I was preaching for somebody the other day and their kids were talking about girlfriends and boyfriends, and I remember all that. If my wife had just listened to me the first time, we'd have got married a lot sooner. We wouldn't have all the heartache we had. She broke up with me 5 times. She always blamed it on God. It wasn't God. Never did talk to me. And I was listening to all that stuff, Brother Sutton, and I just prayed. I said, God, thank you, Jesus, that I'm not a teenager anymore. Because I remember coming to church, you know, and you got to impress that girl or impress that guy. I know that's all real stuff. Hey, if you're going to find a girlfriend or boyfriend, this is a good place to find one. Don't look in the world. Don't look on Twitter. Don't look on Facebook. Find you one in the church. Find you one in the altar, preferably. And I'll just give you a little advice, young men. If her hair still looks the same after church as it did before church, you probably don't need to date her. Find you one that all the curls have been shouted out. Find you one that's missing half her bobby pins because she's in love with Jesus. She don't care what you think. Young ladies, if his tie's still straight after church, go look somewhere else because he's not in love. Find you one that sweated down. Find you one that had to go change his shirt because he was worshiping God. Hey, we're in a battle. I'm in a fight. I got to make it to heaven. Come to church and sit on the back pew, never move. They just don't understand. They're in a fight. They might make fun of me because I'm shouting and dancing. I'm going to tell you something. Every meeting I ever went to, I was the first one in the altar because I was trying to win a battle. I had an adversary. He might have not have been after everybody like he was after me, but he was after me. He was on my heels. And I knew if I'm going to win this fight, I got to get in the altar. I got to get up there and shout because I'm in a battle. Punch your neighbor and say you're in a fight. We need each other. In fact, when I get through preaching, if there's somebody in your youth group that you're mad at, you need to go to them and apologize. You hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Brother Dawson's hurt my feelings a bunch of times. But I love him. We're friends.
And more than that, we're trying to go to heaven together. I'm just picking at you. There's nothing worth going to hell over. There's nothing worth losing ground over. You got to realize, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. If the devil can bring you to a church service and keep you mad at your friend, he won around. If he can keep you mad at your mom, he won around. Realize, I'm in a fight. I'm in a fight. And I got to realize what the real fight is. Humble yourselves. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Secondly, be kind to each other. Be subject one to another. Thirdly, here we go. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him. He's preaching to the young people. What kind of care do we have? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do for a living? Where am I going to go to college? How am I going to live? How am I going to make money? How am I going to pay for school? That's all worries. It's real life stuff. Hey man, if you're a parent and you flick that away, hey man, have shame on you. It's a real battle. It's a real fight that keeps young people up at night. What's my life going to hold? Where am I going to go? I'm telling you, when I was a young person, 85% of my prayer was, God, what are you going to do with my life? What are you going to do with me? How are you going to use me? God, I want to be used. I want to be used. How's it going to happen? I'm telling you, he said, if you're going to live for God, submit yourselves under the hand of God and cast all your care upon him. It's going to work out. If I just keep loving God, if I just keep living for God, if I just keep bowing down, oh God. Submit yourselves under the hand of God. I want to tell you something. If you're going to win this fight, you better fall in love with praying and fasting and Bible reading. Oh, Brother Wells, this is so simple tonight. I wanted you to preach something cool. I'm telling you, I'm trying to get you to live for God. If you're going to make it, then you can't just be a shouter. You can't just be a worshiper. You got to fall in love with the altar. You got to fall in love with tears. You got to fall in love with praying through. I was in a youth meeting a few years ago, Brother Sutton. The guy that was preaching that night was a youth camp. He was in high demand. He's about three decimals from an idiot now. But he made a statement that night, and I got up, and I almost confronted him. But my wife thought better of it. He said, we don't need a face-down generation. We need a shouting generation. Now, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nobody loves shout more than I do. I love dancing. I love running. I'm just fat. And if I'm going to preach, I got to conserve my energy. This is my 17th sermon in 20 days. I'm tired. He said, I want my young people to shout. I don't want you praying on the floor. Brother, that struck a chord in my life, because I started thinking back to the youth group and the youth camps that I was a part of when I was a teenager. And there were some kids that could shout. They were the first one to hit the aisles running. They had run to Amazing Grace. Tear holes in the wall. Beat the sheetrock down. They could shout with the best of them. But I didn't never see him at prayer meeting. And when the altar was filled with people weeping on their faces, they were usually going to the bathroom to get some water. Because if you're going to live for God, you got to submit yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. I'm telling you, we need to go back to old-fashioned consecration, old-fashioned brokenness before God, old-fashioned humility under the hand of God. God, I want you to humble me. I want you to touch me tonight. I want to weep before you. God, start something in my life. I can shout with the best of them. I don't ever want to lose my shout. I don't ever want to lose my jump. But God, I want to fall in love with the altar. I want to learn how to pray. I want to learn how to touch God.
Because you got an adversary. An adversary. You better learn how to shout. And you better learn how to pray. Because you got an adversary. And I'm going to tell you something. We're in a fight for our life. We're not in a fight for Oreo cookies. We're not in a fight for money. We're not in a fight for bitcoins. We're in a fight for our soul. We're in a fight for our lives. Amen. Every morning I wake up, Brother Chase, I got to make up my mind. I'm going to go to heaven. Brother Preston, I got to make up in my mind. I'm not going to fall into temptation. I'm not going to fall into sin because I've got an adversary.
I got an adversary. Let me tell you something, young people. The devil hates you. He hates your worship. He hates what you're doing tonight. He don't want you coming to church. He don't want you starting a Bible study in your school. He don't want you starting a teaching club. He hates. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. He hates righteousness.
Bible said the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. Young people, the devil hates you. He doesn't just want to get you out of church. He wants to mutilate you. He wants to rip your life into so many pieces it's not even recognizable. He don't want you just to quit coming to church. He wants you to be completely and forever unalterably messed up and disintegrated. He wants to destroy you. You've got an adversary. He don't want you just to go to hell. He wants you to go to hell in shame. He wants you to go to hell in disgrace. He wants you to go to hell broken and messed up and at a loss for anything. But I've come to tell you, you've got an adversary, but you've got a choice in whether or not you get devoured.
Because the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's here tonight. He's on every. You know what? If you got Snapchat and you're trying to live for God, you're going to have a hard time. Some of you mamas and daddies don't even know what that is. But every young person in this room knows what Snapchat is. You don't need Snapchat on your phone if you're going to live for God. Because you got an adversary, and your adversary loves secrecy, and your adversary loves for you to be invisible, and your adversary loves no tracks, and your adversary loves dark places. I want to tell you something. You got to realize I've got an adversary, and he wants to tear my life up. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy my future. You got an adversary. For all of you uninformed, Snapchat is a social networking thing which young people can send pictures and text back and forth and communication back and forth, and the moment it sends, all traces of it are completely destroyed.
So they say.
Mama can't find it, and daddy can't find it, and pastor can't find it. But I'm going to tell you something. Your adversary knows where it's at. Your adversary knows what'll get you. You got to be sober. You got to be vigilant, because you got an adversary. He's looking for a place to tear your life up. He's looking for a place to get his teeth into you. Amen. If you're going to live for God, you got to make up in your mind, devil, if you're going to get me, you're going to have to work a little harder. Because this is the real fight.
Whew. Musicians come so they'll have hope. But if you're going to live for God, somewhere in your life, you got to submit yourself to God. Somewhere in your life, you got to be like David and Elisha. Nobody knew who they were but a sudden. Samuel didn't even know that Jesse had another son, but God did. Nobody had ever heard of Elisha. He had just plowed 12 yoke of oxen at his mom and daddy's farm, but God knew who he was. Because he and God had a relationship, and he and God had some prayer meetings, and he and God had some times of submission. God, I don't know when you're going to exalt me. I don't know when I'm going to be brought out of this trouble. I don't know when anybody's going to know who I am. I don't know when I'm going to experience power. But God, I want you to know who I am. Jesse said, I've got one more son, but he's not the one you want. Samuel said, I've never seen him, I've never heard of him, but we won't sit down till he gets here. Young preacher, if you want to be used of God, quit pulling strings and levers, quit networking, and fall in love with Jesus. Quit working on sermons and start working on God. Start praying. Start fasting. Go to the church every day. Get you a key to the prayer room and say, God, I don't care who knows me, but I want to be somebody that God knows. Submit yourself under the hand of God, and he will exalt you.
Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Living for God, it's really not all that hard when you make up in your mind every step of the way. There's an adversary trying to get his teeth in my life. He's trying to find a place to latch on to me. That's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an opportunity to fight against you. Don't give him a place in your life to do battle with you. Don't have any secrets. Don't have any hidden corners. Don't have no relationships that no one knows about. Because the devil's looking for one place, and all he needs is one place. All he needs is one place. King David, I'm way off my stuff, but it feels good. King David, Brother Collins, he was mightily used of God. God knew who he was. God said, he's got a heart like mine. I'm going to use him, anoint him. Samuel, you don't know him, but I know him. God anointed him. David danced before the Lord. David slew Goliath. David fought against the lion and the bear, and he slew tens of thousands of Philistines. But the Bible says David got himself a name. He forgot, I'm in a battle. He forgot, I'm in a fight. And somewhere along the way, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy that the kings of Israel should not multiply wives or horses unto themselves. Just don't have two wives, don't have three wives. David apparently didn't pay attention to that scripture, and he married
Abigail, he married Ahinoam. He was married to Michael. He had three wives. And he put just this little seed, just this little seed of disobedience in his life. I know God said not to do that, but Abigail means good and pleasant. Ahinoam, or the opposite, means source of joy. This stuff's good. I can put this stuff in my life because look at it. It's beautiful. It's pleasant. It's kind. And he married those wives when God said, don't do it. And at that day, he opened the door to the devourer. Here's a place where for the rest of my life, you can fight with me. For the rest of my life, there's going to be something following me. I'm going to tell you something, young people. Sin is patient. And the devil is patient. He's a good devil. He'll put something in your life as a teenager, and he'll fail your ministry, and he'll fail your family when you're 30 years old. Because he's a good devil. David said, I want to marry this girl because she's good, she's beautiful, she's pleasant. It's my source of joy. So he opened this door and he said, really doesn't matter what God says. And one day he was standing on the top of his house. And that little door that he opened to the devil came. And the enemy slipped up beside him and said, hey, look over there. There's Bathsheba. She's another man's wife, but I really don't mean anything. You're the king. David had an affair with her. He sent for her husband. He came home. Gonna hide it. But that man was more honorable than David, and he had to kill him. And the old preacher came. He said, David, there were two men. One had flocks with all kinds of sheep. And the other one, he just had one little lamb. He said, and this guy that had a lot of sheep, he said, a traveler came. That little thing you led in your life when you were about 15 years old. That little disobedience that you opened the door to the enemy to have a place to fight with you for your entire life. The traveler came, and the traveler always has to be satisfied. And the traveler said, I need food. And instead of taking from his flocks, the Bible said that the preacher said, he went to the old man's house that just had one little ewe lamb. And he took that lamb and he fed him. David said, who is he? I'll kill him. He needs to repay it four times and pay with his life. And Nathan said, you're the man because you forgot you were in a fight. And you were sitting on the throne and you had everything in your power, but you forgot you got an adversary. And the devourer came in David's life and devoured his child and devoured his trust and devoured many things. Because the devil, in the book of Job and in our text, he walks about. I didn't think we'd end here tonight, but the Holy Ghost has us where we want. He looks around in your life and he sees, is there a place that I can sink my teeth in? I may have to wait for a long time before I get to bite the whole thing. But I just want one little place to get my teeth in. And there'll come a day when you'll forget that the adversary never goes to sleep. And the adversary never takes a vacation. And he's never not watchful. Whoo, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I thought we'd be shouting, but I'm going to tell every young person in this room, in fact, everybody that's here, the devil hates you. He don't want you sitting here next year. He doesn't want you looking anything like you look right now. He's your adversary. And he's looking in your life. Where's a place? Can I devour you? Brother Preston, can I devour you? Is there a place? Is there some place in your life where you're going to disobey your pastor and I can latch on to your life, and I may have to wait 10 years and I may have to wait till your kids are teenagers and I may have to wait, but I'm going to get you because you gave me a place. Your adversary is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Whom, he said, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're not going to tonight, but if we were to get real vulnerable, we wouldn't have to look very far down the pew or down the section we're in to find somebody that's going through exactly what we're going through. If we were to get all sappy and start talking real plain, we wouldn't have to look very far to find somebody that's being tempted by the same temptation we're being tempted. But you can make it. He said, I want you to know that, Brother Dawson, what you're fighting, I might be fighting the same thing. That's why I can't be mean. That's why I can't be haughty. That's why I can't have a bad spirit, because I might come to church one night and though we don't even tell each other, we're fighting the same battle. If we're going to win this fight, we got to submit ourselves to God. We got to submit ourselves to the elder. And we got to resist the enemy. Whew. Stand with me. Oh God, help me. Hallelujah. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I were in a store. And I ran into a friend. We went to church together. We shouted together. Brother Sutton, there's no telling how many laps we ran together. He could shout. Shout all night. He never learned how to pray. Never learned how to be broken before God. Let me tell you something, young people. If you're going to live for God, about twice a week, you need to pray through till you got snot bubbles coming out of your nose. You need to pray till you can't talk in English. Because you got to humble yourself before God. You're not just going to wake up one day, Brother Collins, and be in heaven. Because you got an adversary. And I promise you, young people, I wouldn't want to go to school in the day that you're going to school. I wouldn't want to try to make it. I barely made it in my day. My internet did that. I mean, mean, if you were going to mess up in my day, you had to work at it and be patient. But my friend never learned how to pray. He could shout. He could run. Nothing wrong with any of that. Somewhere you got to submit yourself under God. He's on his third set of kids, and he's younger than me with his third different woman. I think he's only married one. His life's a mess. It's a wreck. Cigarettes, alcohol, whatever else you want to call it. Because somewhere in his life, a preacher said, "You don't need to do this." I remember. And he didn't listen. And the enemy got his mouth on his life. Whew. And what could have been good and what could have been great is devoured. There's nothing left but a piece of an ear and a little leg or something. But I want to tell you something, young people. Peter said, you've got an adversary. But resist that adversary. Steadfast. And after you've suffered for a while, you know what would be real awesome? Is if the moment you got the Holy Ghost, God put this shield around you that was like one of those video game deals where nobody can hit you. You just kind of walk around. Nothing can bother you. That'd be awesome. God don't do that. He says you got an adversary and he wants to devour you. He wants to eat you up. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy everything about your life. But resist him. And I'm not going to leave you without power. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare. This ain't God fighting. This is me. They're my weapons. I got an adversary. I got weapons. Submission to my pastor is one of my weapons. Reading my Bible is another one of my weapons. I'll tell you something. You being tempted? Get that old guy on iTunes that reads the Bible. You know, the real guy that's got a real deep voice like this. In the beginning, God created. Put that on your headphones. You'll have a hard time messing up with that playing in your ears. That's funny, Brother Wells. No, the Bible is a weapon. Satan said, turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, it is written. The Bible works. Oh, man. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. To the casting down of imaginations. And every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into subjection every thought. Hallelujah. If I'm going to live for God, I got to use my weapons. I got to learn how to shout. I got to learn how to praise. I got to learn how to worship. I got to learn how to pray. I got to learn how to fast. Hallelujah. But what I feel tonight to happen, the most important thing you're going to get is learning how to humble yourself before God. Because Psalm said, a broken and a contrite heart God won't despise. And after you've suffered a while, he said, that word suffered there means after you've fought and pushed and felt and struggled. He said, the God of peace and the God of grace is going to strengthen you, establish you, settle you. Hallelujah. If you're a young person here tonight, I want you to make your way to this altar. Moms and dads, youth workers, everybody else, come in behind them. We're going to pray tonight. Come on, hurry, 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 hurry. It's 9:30. We got 30 minutes before we got to go. But here's what I want us to do tonight. We've shouted, we've danced, we've run the aisles tonight. We've turned flips. We've had a big time. But here's what I want us to do. I want you to find somebody. And if you can, I want you to find somebody that's not from your church. Find somebody. Say, man, I know you're going through the same stuff I'm going through. You got the same stuff at your school that's happening in my school. If we're going to make it, we got to learn how to be broken before God. We got to learn how to weep before God. We got to learn how to let our humility show before God. We got to learn how to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I'll tell you something. When you get under God's hand, there's nothing left in you to stand. No flesh can glory in His presence. Here's what I want us to do. I want you to pray for each other right now. I want you to pray for yourself. God, help me humble myself before You. Help me to realize, God, that I've got an adversary, and that adversary wants to get his teeth in my life. He wants to get his teeth in my marriage. He wants to get his
make me a house.
Yeah, perfect. Come on, the adversary wants to destroy us tonight. Come on, if you know how to pray, I want you to pray right now. Pray till you talk in tongues. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can get the Holy Ghost right now. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself under the hand of God. Because I got to go to heaven. I've got an adversary. I've got an adversary. Come on, hook up with somebody and pray. Come on, preachers. Come on, ministers, help me pray. Find somebody, put your hand on them. Come on, mamas and daddies. Find somebody, lay hands on them. Come on, youth workers, help me pray. Help me pray. Help me pray. Come on, saints of God, find a young person. After a while, God's going to establish you. God's going to settle you. God's going to help you. Resist Him. Resist Him. You got an adversary, but I'm going to fight back tonight. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to humble myself under the hand of God. Let the fire. Come on. Make me a house of prayer. Come on, let the Holy Ghost saturate this place. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Come on, young people, push. Pray out of a push up to Kotoya. Pray till you can't talk in English. Pray till you lose control. Come on, I'm gonna be broken before God. I'm gonna be broken before God. I'm gonna be broken before God. I'm gonna be humbled before God tonight. I got an adversary. I got an adversary. He wants to destroy me. He wants to devour me. But I've got an option. I don't want to be devoured. I don't want to be devoured. Come on, you younger. Submit yourself to the elder. Submit yourself to each other. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you.
Make me a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Teach me how to pray through. Teach me how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Teach me how to touch God.
Fire on my altar.
Fire on my altar.
God. Touch God. Touch God. You need the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands right now. Receive the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, brokenness. Brokenness. Brokenness before God. Humility before God. If you need to kneel, kneel. God, I gotta have you. Because I got an adversary that's trying to devour me. I got an adversary that's trying to devour me. I gotta resist him. Resist him. I'm fighting back. It might look like I'm praying, but I'm fighting. That's it, buddy. Resist him. Resist him. I'm going to break through. I got an adversary. I got an adversary. I got an adversary. He's trying to devour me. He's trying to devour me. I don't want to be devoured. I don't want to be devoured by the enemy. I'm going to submit myself to God. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to establish me. He's going to settle me. I'll tell you.
Make me a house of prayer. Lay the fire on my altar. Never let it burn down, oh Lord.
Find somebody to pray with. Somebody to pray with. Come on, pray, pray. Let's pray through. Let's pray through. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face. Seek your face, oh God.
I don't want to be devoured. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want to be devoured. I've got a choice. Can't devour me, devil. I don't want to be devoured. I got weapons.
Make me a house of prayer.
Shandakataya. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to establish me. He's going to settle me. Make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house of prayer. Oh, I don't want to be devoured. I don't want to be devoured. Yeah, that's it, Sam. I'm not going to be devoured. I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Yeah, yeah, Candace. Oh, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it. Come on, that's it, that's it. I don't want to be devoured. Devoured. Devil, you can't have me. I'm going to strengthen myself in God. I'm going to submit myself to the elder. Make me a house. Let's close up the doors. Let's close up the places that we've let the devil have a place against us. Come on, shake his teeth out of your life. I'm going to take that place back. You can't have that anymore, devil. I'm not going to give you a place to fight me. I'm not going to give you a place to devour me. Make me a house of prayer.
Never burn out.
strengthen you. God's going to establish you. God's going to settle you. Just keep fighting. Keep resisting. I've got an adversary. I've got an adversary. But I've got a choice. I don't want to be devoured. I don't want to lose it. I'm going to hold on to what God's given me. I've got an adversary, but I'm going to stay in the fight. I'm going to stay in the fight. This is the real fight. Come on, find somebody to pray with. Come on, pray, pray, pray. Don't be looking around. Go find somebody else. Let's pray through. Let's pray through together. Come on, pray till you got tears flowing down your face. Pray till you can't see straight. Pray till you can't talk straight. I gotta fight. I gotta fight. I gotta fight.
May the fire on my altar.
May the fire on my altar. I don't want it to go out. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Somebody put your arm around them. Tell them, hey, I need you. If I'm gonna make it to heaven, I need you to help me. I don't wanna be mean. I don't wanna be a snob. I don't wanna have a clique. I wanna be kind to somebody.